Legislation introduced this month by Representative Chris Stewart aims to prohibit certain federal agencies from using or purchasing certain firearms. The Regulatory Agency Demilitarization Act calls for federal agencies, other than those traditionally tasked with enforcing federal law, from purchasing machine guns, grenades, and other weaponry regulated under the National Firearms Act. In an interview with Federal News Radio's Eric White, the Utah Republican explains how he hopes this will help tamp down the distrust many Americans feel toward the federal government.
We're not talking about law enforcement. We're not talking about Justice Department. We're talking about your everyday common regulatory agencies. And I think that it kind of comes to the heart of this problem, and that is there's so much distrust between the people and the federal government. And unfortunately, that distrust is growing. And I think this is an example of where we could maybe temper down some of those feelings, where if we could assure the people that the FDA or the IRS or the EPA, other regulatory agencies, don't have this heavy-handed ability to really intimidate citizens. And I think we've seen some examples that have, you know, caught people's attention. They think that just doesn't make sense. Why does a regulatory agency have that kind of firepower?
So how do federal agencies who are required to enforce regulatory laws, you think that they are able to do their jobs without this kind of firepower to back them up?
Well, as an example, a BLM agent in my district in Utah, very rural, in some cases or in many cases, they're out there on their own. We want those BLM agents or Forest Service agents to be able to carry a handgun if they need to. We recognize they have to protect themselves if they encounter situations that are unpredictable. Again, we're talking about something different. We're talking about SWAT teams. We're talking about, you know, assault rifles, machine guns, grenade launchers. These are regulatory agencies. They're not law enforcement. And if they encounter something that they require that type of firepower, I hope they would call their local sheriff's office. I hope they would call other federal agencies that are tasked and more, I think, adequately trained for that. FBI, federal marshals, as an example. And I think if we could distinguish between those two, it's really better for both of the agencies, and it certainly helps with the trust factor we're trying to build with American citizens.
You mentioned BLM. Are there any other specific agencies that you would like to see reductions in weapon stockpile for?
Well, I think we want to look across the board, and that's one of the intents of this legislation, is that it asks the GAO to give us an accounting. We've had a difficult time trying to get straight answers from some of the regulatory agencies. You know, do you have SWAT teams? And in some cases, we've been told, no, we don't. But actually, they do. They just call them something else. And we've asked them, how much money are you spending for this training or these weapons? How many do you have? Where are they located? And it's been almost impossible to get answers from them. And so we would ask the GAO to do a study to tell us how much they're spending, what kind of special training are they doing, what kind of weapons are they buying, for example. I mean, it wasn't, but it was recently the Department of Agriculture had a solicitation for machine guns. I think most Americans wonder, why does the Department of Agriculture need machine guns? And I would answer, I don't think they do.
Taking away weapons from federal agencies, do you support something like the 1033 program that allows federal agencies to give, you know, reserve weapons to police departments around the country? And if so, I mean, how is that any different than, you know, a federal agency having a machine gun other than, you know, law enforcement? I know you said this doesn't specify to law enforcement, but I think some will also make the argument that, you know, local law enforcement in rural areas such as Utah don't need, you know, SWAT cars and giant tankers or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, and this is actually a real important distinction. I appreciate you bringing it up. And that is, once again, we're talking law enforcement agencies, but I know the sheriff in the county in which I live. He's a good person. I have tremendous respect for him. If he decides that he needs this type of equipment, then he has to convince the people. He has to convince his commissioners, locally elected officials, that they need it and they should pay for it. And if they make a decision that the people in that county don't support, they can hold them accountable. They can, you know, they have to come up for re-election and they have to answer to the people, which is one of my primary concerns. These regulatory agencies, they're not accountable to the local population at all. They're not accountable to the local sheriffs or local law enforcement. And it's much, much harder to not only hold them accountable, in many cases, to find out who they are and to get direct answers from them.
And you talked about it a little bit before, the distrust between federal agencies and local citizens on the ground. Utah, in particular, has had, I'm sure that you're aware, there's been a number of standoffs between citizens there and the BLM. Can I get your thoughts on why there's so much distrust between them and the BLM, you know, with the Bundy standoff that there was a year ago or so?
Yeah.
And the other incidents that have happened even in Utah.
Right. And, you know, we watch that kind of thing, and it's very distressing. And it's not good for anyone. It's not good for the agencies. I mean, some of these BLM agents are good people, and they're trying to do a tough job. It's not good for the local citizens when they feel like the federal government just comes in and runs roughshod over them, where they don't have any voice, where they feel like they don't have any input to land that they have lived on for generations in some case. And that's really part of the point of this legislative effort, is to create a situation where perhaps everyone steps back a little bit, where the local citizens don't feel like the BLM or other, you know, another federal regulatory agency doesn't come in with a SWAT team, you know, and scare the heck out of some of these folks. And it allows everyone to step back and say, okay, look, can't we find a better way to discuss this? Isn't there a way we could accommodate both sides without, you know, coming to these very dangerous, ultimately coming to these very dangerous situations. And, you know, the root of it comes back to, once again, and to the point of your question, part of the reason there's so much anger and distrust is in, you know, vast parts of the West, what I represent part of that, the federal government has a very, very powerful hand. They control so much of the land, so much of the resources, so much of the everyday lives of these people, and they often feel like, I don't have any choice. I don't have any input. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know where to go for help. And I just don't think that's healthy for anyone. It's not helpful for anyone.
Republican Congressman Chris Stewart is the House Representative for Utah's 2nd District, speaking with Federal News Radio's Eric White. You can share this interview with colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.